It's great to see you again, and welcome to the Two-Timer Club. You and baseball legend David Ortiz are the only two-timer playing field interview club, so welcome.
All right, man. Well, I appreciate that. That sounds good. I know Mr. David. He's a good dude. So, nice to be in that elite division of gentlemen here.
Oh yeah, and then other thing I noticed was 2 days ago, about it, when we're recording this, you actually entered the same club that Tom Brady is in, which is you've spent half your life, which I think is 8,317 days as a professional driver, and I think Tom just hit about 2 weeks ago 6,000, let's say almost 900 days playing football. So that's kind of a that is a big I'd say that's a big club to be in.
Absolutely. No, of course. That's pretty cool. You spend half your life doing something that you love doing. And, it's obviously been a lot of great rewards, a lot of fun times, and, some championships along the way, a lot of victories. And so, a lot of memories, of course, and some good times there. So, would love to make sure and hope that the future's still bright and we can go out there and still be successful. And I'm looking forward to that, doing it with Richard Childress Racing and being with a new team this coming season.
Yeah, it's pretty awesome, man. It's like it's such a cool thing to say that half your life is something, and for every day here on forward, it's going to be more than half your life. So it's definitely a part of you, and it's pretty cool. So I saw a recent article described you as the winningest driver, but the most hated driver. So going off the second part of that as the most hated driver, who are your top three sports villains of all time?
Well, you must have been spending too much time on the Google in order to receive those results. Who are the top three of all time?
Do you have like top three villains or top three, like you would say? Here's the thing I tell you is like, and this is like on a serious point, is that like I see wherever you go, it's like people just like everybody just like hates Tom. And I was like, why is it? Why is it? It's like when you are so good at what you do in the sports, and you make people hate you because you end up like you beat their team. So like that
Right.
obviously, like for you, right? Like you beat everybody else. So you of course people aren't gonna like you, right?
Yeah, no, I hear you on that front for sure. So to me, I don't have any villains or guys that I villainize. I feel like the villainization of an athlete or a character is just built upon a fan base or a media base where, they write that upon you. But to me, like, every time I've ever met, guys that are hated, like Tom, for instance, or I never met Dale Earnhardt Sr., but I've met his son, obviously. I've spent a lot of time with Dale Jr. over the years, and you see these guys, and they're regular people, they're normal individuals. It's just a matter of how successful and how determined and how fiery they've been through the course of their career, and they sort of just get that persona, put on them. So, to me, I don't villainize anybody. So I enjoy watching everybody. I mean, I know people would give a bad rap to Barry Bonds, but man, I respect the guy. I give him praises for what he was able to do and the sport that he carried on his back for a long time.
Well, even like last week, or 2 weeks ago, I talked to Lance Armstrong, right? Like, and I think a lot of people kind of would even villainize him and everything he's been through. But like, to me, I think a lot of it comes through, which is like defines you, is like super passionate, right? Like when you're so passionate about something in the sport, and like I see when you're out there, in racing, and before you, and before and after, like there's just a passion that bleeds through. So I'm sure that like, it can almost feel threatening to some people, I'm guessing.
No, of course. Yeah, I would agree with that. I feel like your passion is for your sport, obviously wanting to do the best you can do and be the best that you can be. But your passion is also for winning, and you don't want to take anything less than winning. So sometimes my passion over the years wasn't necessarily as well received as I had hoped of just my mentality and my fiery nature. I was kind of given a different rap than that, but it's been what it's been, and it's been fun to just live up that persona a little bit, since you kind of get that black hat, you might as well go with it and wear it, and piss them off a little bit more along the way, so you can still go out there and you're still, eating it up and winning races and winning championships and stuff. So we need to get back to that though. It's been a little bit dry here lately.
Yeah, well, as I say, haters are gonna hate, but I'm not making this 180 here to save you, but I was looking recently about your Bundle of Joy Fund in your personal foundation. So tell us about that.
It's been really, really something very near and dear to my wife Samantha and I's heart. In 20, well, we were trying to have children from 2012 probably, and was just not successful at it at all. the old-fashioned natural way. And so, and we were just trying to get answers from doctors, and nobody really told us anything. So we went to a fertility clinic, and we were able to finally get some answers of Samantha's condition and my condition. I had male factor as well too. So we had to go through IVF in order to have our children. Our son Brexton was born in 2015, and when he was born, it kind of resonated with us about just how expensive the whole journey was, and what it means to finally be able to have your own bundle of joy. And so Samantha and I started the fund after Brexton's birth, and we've been fortunate enough to work with the clinic here in Charlotte that we went to and that is local to our area. And we've raised over $1.2 million. We've gifted many of families. I think we're up to about 65 babies born now that are a part of the Bundle of Joy family, and we enjoy each and every one of them, and have play dates and stuff like that throughout the year that everybody can kind of gather together, and they've set up Facebook groups and stuff like that as well too, where everybody kind of gets to see everyone's kids. It's almost like a fraternity, and it's really, really fun to have that just grow into what it has, and it's been amazing with all the partners that we've had over the years to help support that. So it's been very, very fun and rewarding. But I'm going to give full due credit and respect to Samantha, who kind of runs and operates the foundation aspect for that.
Smart man. So let's get into it here. So I'm fired up for the new documentary Rowdy to premiere February 3rd on Amazon Freevee. I saw the YouTube video preview, and it's like it's crazy. The energy got me fired up, and I can't believe, as we were talking earlier, that you've been doing this half your career or half your life in 20 years or so. And so I think I'd love to, in talking about Rowdy, I'd love to start with, take us to Daytona, the Speedway in 2015. What do you remember from that crash?
Yeah, I mean, I remember pretty much everything. We were running well in the race. We had a fast car. We were working our way forward into the top 10. And we were coming down into the last 10 laps of the race. And that's kind of go time. You want to get towards the front. You want to be the leader so you can kind of set the pace and start blocking everybody behind you. And so it was about 8 laps to go. I saw a hole developing going through the trioval. And I had my teammate, Eric Jones, in front of me. And I tried to give him a little nudge and a little push to kind of get him a shot forward and to get him to initiate the pass and get into that hole, because I was going to follow him through, and we were going to go up into the outside lane and get to about fourth place doing that. And I bumped him a little bit too much or too early through the turn, and it got him sideways, and when he corrected his car, it came back across the track, and I had to kind of divert in order to miss him. And when I did, it got my car loose. I spun it towards the infield, and the car never ruddered. It never changed direction. It just all kept sliding at this like 45 degree angle on the racetrack, or almost 80 degree angle on the racetrack, and it ran dead straight into the infield wall at like 90 miles an hour. So just a terrible crash, and it was a wall that wasn't protected with a safer barrier, so it was just a concrete barrier. And broke my right leg, double compound fracture, and then also broke my left foot, a midfoot break. And so, trying to get out of the car after the crash, my legs dangling there, I had to get help from the safety team and to have them help me to the ground, and then, had to go to the hospital. So it was really a bummer day, but wasn't the way you wanted to start off your new season and all that sort of stuff, because it was the first race of the year being in Daytona. But from there on, man, the whole rest of the year after that of 2015 was pretty remarkable when I was able to make my return and come back in May, just 11 weeks later, I was back in a race car racing, and you know, I guess it was 15 weeks later, so 5 weeks after that, call it 16. I won my first race again, being back from injury, you know, and won three in a row during that span, almost four in a row during that span. Made it to the playoffs and made it through the each round of our playoffs that we have in NASCAR to make it to the final four, to have a race and a shot for racing for the championship at Homestead. And lo and behold, we were really, really good. We were the best car down there, and made it through that race, battling our nearest competitors in the championship. We all ran 1, 2, 3, 4 at about half the race, it felt like, anyways. And so we ended up beating them all, though, and brought home the championship. That was my first championship in NASCAR Cup Series.
Man, it's a Hollywood ending. And do you remember what crossed your mind on that final, you know, going through that finish line there, the final race?
I mean, it was, you know, I guess what kind of, I'll back up a second. What kind of went through your mind when you crashed was, well, damn, is my career over? Am I done? Am I going to be able to come back? Like, what's going to happen? What am I supposed to do? All that kind of went through your mind. So it was like, you know, all the doom and gloom of going through that. But, you know, of course, just, I think the final lap of that championship race, the joy and jubilation, the feeling of just everything that you went through in all the rehab and, you know, coming back through some frustrating races. We had some crashes in there as well too. It wasn't all, you know, Hollywood story, but it certainly had a Hollywood ending there with winning the championship. But, you know, there was my son that was born during that same time in 2015 when I came back. So I came back on May 16th and he was born on May 18th. You know, so there was just so much that happened in that year, and it was just all fulfilled there at the end. You know, just your plate was super full.
Yeah, I'm sure. Wild time, and can't wait to again see that in Rowdy. But I remember when we were filming Tom vs. Time, and we had a film crew around Tom for, you know, almost that year there. What was that experience like for you?
Yeah, I mean, it was kind of weird because it happened right around COVID time. All the 2015 action shots and all that video is basically through NASCAR Productions. But then we tried to do like a life of Kyle, follow him around. What's a year of going to the racetrack like and being like that? And it didn't necessarily resonate very well. So not much of it made the film just because it was during COVID time. There were no fans. Right. There was, you know, show up, wear masks, all that sort of stuff. But at least we were racing once we were able to. So they did do a little bit more filming in the 2021 season when we were a little bit more open and stuff like that. But it wasn't much because the film was pretty much due by that time. So, you know, it was okay. We did a lot of behind the scenes, a lot of interview style stuff of just kind of telling the story, narrating the story. You know, some really cool NASCAR individuals were included in that, with Jeff Gordon, Dale Earnhardt Jr., Rick Hendrick, you know, Joe Gibbs, previous team owners of mine, as well as some previous race drivers that I went up against.
Yeah, it's cool. I mean, because I remember this for Tom, there has to have been like something like, you know, felt good, like the world can finally just kind of see it. Like, not that we didn't already know how much of a grind it is and how much you prepare, but like this really shows that, like how much you go through. So there has to be a little bit. Does it feel like there's a little bit of like, all right, look how much actually, like, look how much work goes into this?
Yeah, I would hope so, that people can kind of see that, you know, the life of a sports athlete is not just the go to play the game or play the sport and go home and that's it. You know, there is a lot behind the scenes that happens, and it's really, really crazy what all transpires. And that was me when I was a kid. You know, when I was 8, 9, 10 years old, I'm like, that's my dream. I want to be a race car driver. I thought all you had to do was drive race cars, you know, and then you get here and you're like, oh, wait a second. Hold on. All of this is included as well, too. Damn, not quite what I was looking forward to. But, you know, you get used to it as time goes on. Nobody can really prepare you for it. But, you know, you can obviously have a lot of good help in order to make it through and handle the situations and, you know, all the obligations as best as possible.
Yeah, for sure. It's really, well, again, really excited to see. Well, I'm gonna tee you up here for an easy one, but for the next question. But with all you have going on, kind of behind the wheel and at home, like how do you stay energized?
It's there's a lot, trust me. You know, you got family life. We just actually had a newborn Lennox, again through IVF.
Nice.
So she's about 9 months old. And you know,
Amazing.
Brexton, of course, he's running wild, running rampant, being his own professional race car driver at 7 years old. So it's been super fun. But of course, you know, I always rely on my rowdy energy in order to make sure that I'm getting from point A to point B as energized as
There we
possible in
go.
order to,
That's what I
in
was
order
looking
to.
for.
Oh, I know. In order to
All
make
right.
sure that it's all good, but Rowdy's doing good. You know, it's a healthier version of energy drink for you. There's no fake chemicals or you know any ingredients that aren't natural that are in the drink, and so it's better for you. We actually just launched our second line as well too, which is called Power Burn, and you know, drinking a can of Power Burn will help your body metabolize faster and burn 150 calories from a can. So you know, we're following suit with the trends of today, so it's pretty exciting.
That's awesome. I will definitely include a link to for people to purchase in the wish list section. And I was looking at the Instagram and I love it. Taking a direct shot at Monster in the last like post, people have to check it out. But like it is a it just stood out to me there, that kind of like you know, you pushing a Monster aside. So I thought that was great. Just wanted to give you a shout out to on that.
I appreciate that. It's been fun. Those guys are trying to redo some of the social stuff that we've had going on, but excited to see what 2023 has in store for all of us.
Yeah, for sure. Well, I've tried it. I'm a fan and I drink it before I work out. So thank you for that.
There you
And
go.
Kyle,
That a boy. See?
there we go. Get
It
those
tastes good, right? Like it's
it
not
tastes
like the rest
awesome.
of them.
No, it truly the like Monster, all the other ones, I won't name other brands. It's like you can taste artificial, like the fake sugars, all this. I am a fan. It's like the perfect amount of energy. So, and I am my unpaid spokesman. So that'll be that's my I do appreciate that. But no, so Kyle, thank you so much, seriously, for your time today. And really, again, excited to watch Rowdy, the documentary preparing showing on February 3rd there. So keep up the great work and good luck this off season, and then good luck on the chase for the cup. So thanks.
Absolutely, man. I appreciate you guys and what all you do and stuff like that. So I keep track of it every week. Appreciate you having me and look forward to talking again and being the three-timer.